Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Hey, Katie.
Hi, Tay.
What's it? NPR?
What?
NPR, like the NPR radio?
Oh, yeah.
When they're like, hi, and welcome to.
Why did I think?
I think I do this like every time when I open up with a soft voice. Yeah, do not resuscitate me, honestly. I'm on my deathbed, if we're being honest.
I don't know why. I was like, what is she talking about DNR for?
I'm going to have to sign one of those.
Acronym.
Just kidding. No, actually, do resuscitate me right now.
I'm too young to DNR.
Anywho, hey, happy Wednesday.
I mean, you have a surgery coming very soon. So, like, yeah. But, like, isn't it, like, a thought, though? Because, like, I always think about, like, with the C-section, like, I know you have to sign off on a transfusion if you want one or not, if you lose too much blood.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that should be a conversation for, like, a birth also. Like, birthing is not – people die in birth.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm going to have to do the, DNR or not, which obviously do resuscitate. The living will, and like there's like a whole bunch of things that I have to sign off on. I'm like, this just me.
Yeah,
I looked at Gil the other day. I was like, when we have a kid, like we're gonna have to like make a will.
The minute we flew to Italy or we're flying to Italy, and both of us were gonna be on that flight, I looked at Tom. I was like, we need something.
Yeah,
and I hand wrote something just to have as like a backup.
Yeah,
giving my parents like sole permission for everything. But I was like, we should probably like look into this.
Yeah, I was like, we're gonna have to like. Get like a family lawyer.
Yeah, it's weird.
I know. I mean, we talk about our deaths.
I just like laugh because I'm like, I am giving my debt to somebody because student loans do not go away when you die.
Is it for Phil like a cosigner?
Yeah,
I think that they were default to Phil.
I do have a good life insurance policy, and I should probably make him the benefactor, but like it's Tom. But I just like laughed. I'm like, if I die, like my dad's going to get like $300K in debt sent to him.
Yeah, he deserves it. Happy birthday from beyond the grave.
Enjoy.
Instead of giving you $300K, I'm giving you $300K in debt.
Enjoy it.
Have fun.
My payments are roughly $2,000. Enjoy.
I know. I think about it all the time. Like, what if I just faked my own death, collected my life insurance, and then I had money?
Truly, that has crossed my mind as well, to pay off my student loans.
Yeah.
Because you can't declare bankruptcy anymore. You can't
Not
for student loans. I stopped in the 90s. There's like, you can't do a lot to get them away besides pay them. So I'm like, so...
It's that great private loan.
It's the private loans. It's not the federal loans.
It's the private loans that are just honestly railing everybody in their butts.
Hard. Very, very, very fucking hard.
No lube. They're just... They're going in dry.
And on that note.
Speaking of going in dry. No, I'm just kidding.
Speaking about butt stuff still. We're going to circle back. Tom still has brought up to us.
Oh, yeah.
That he's like, I really can't believe that you guys would both rather lick a butt than eat ketchup. I was like, ketchup's the fucking devil.
Yeah. And I literally looked at him and I was like, Tom, I would rather lick your butt.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather.
I can dry heave right now thinking about eating ketchup. It's Same. Weird, though. I love barbecue sauce. That's one of my favorite condiments. I like two condiments. I like mayo and I like barbecue sauce. That's it.
I like you buffalo like sauce, like, slash hot sauce, but that's really that's it.
But, like, and I know barbecue sauce, the base is ketchup. I'm very aware of this. But ketchup.
They are very different tastes.
Tastes are though. Very different. But the sheer
and the smell.
I can, my eyes are tearing. I could gag. I can't do it. But to think of licking Tom's butt, I was like, I'll fucking do it.
I would lick your husband's butt before I would eat ketchup. Like, honestly, like, I'm trying to think of a butt I would not lick.
If he came out of, like, out of the gym or a sauna, I'd be like, you gotta fucking shower first.
I would
fucking
still
lick a swamp ass.
I would still, I think, lick a swamp ass. And, like, you know what? I'm just gonna own it. I've never licked butt before, but I would.
You kidnap us and we're like forcing you to either eat ketchup or.
I was gonna say we're gonna be kidnapped. Yeah.
Pants down.
Somebody's gonna be listening. And like we gotta get these girls because they will lick butt to not have to eat ketchup.
I mean,
honestly, it's the simplest thing.
It's, sure, pull your pants down. I'll cover my eyes.
Gil, we were talking with Dad, and he's like, how much money would I have to pay you to eat like a spoonful of ketchup? And I was like, maybe like 50K.
Yeah. I'm sweating. That's disgusting.
No, it's like my like worst nightmare.
Same. I also find it fascinating. Does anybody else in your family not like ketchup?
Everyone in my family likes it.
It's so strange. Because I know Teresa's brother-in-law doesn't like ketchup also.
Yeah.
And I don't like ketchup. So I was like, that's kind of interesting that familial ties right there.
When I was younger, it was like a straight up phobia where like I couldn't like touch it. I can't be like, well, no, I mean, I wouldn't like touch raw ketchup, but like I couldn't like even like touch the bottle to pass. Like if it was like near me or if I smelled it, like it was really bad. And so because everybody knew this, like
they fuck with you.
Yeah. Like my brother would hide ketchup packets in my bed. Yeah. My one friend in high school, he put it. It was a bunch of them, which I didn't touch it, but somebody put it underneath my door handle for my car. My friend was driving my car that day and like she went to grab it and she was like, oh my God, there's blood. Like somebody was bleeding. And then she was like, oh, it's ketchup. And then, so like I knew going into college, I was like, I'm not going to tell anybody about this fear. So like, that's kind of how I started getting over it. Cause I was like, if I refuse to pass this bottle, people will know. Because the one person who I did tell, this is my friend Alec at the time, and he thought it was a joke. And he like came to like side hug me, like put his arm around me, and he wiped it on my face. And I had like a nervous breakdown.
I would have punched him in the dick.
I like froze, ran out of the room, tried to get into the bathroom. This is like freshman dorms, you just swipe in. I didn't have my swipe on me. I ran into the laundry room. I just grabbed somebody's laundry to wipe it off my face. And I sat there on the floor of the laundry room shaking, crying. And then I didn't talk to him for like a month.
I wouldn't either. I mean, like, I fucking hate
and he was like, he was like terrified of me. Good. And he was like, I didn't realize it was so serious. And I was like,
maybe listen.
This is why I don't tell people.
Yeah.
So the trauma.
She's still scarred to this day.
Wouldn't you be?
Fuck yes. Oh my God. Fuck yes. I mean, I feel like everyone has like scarred stories where you're just like, this will forever live with me.
Yeah. I mean, people don't understand it. I really can't describe it other than the fact that it's like a smell, taste issue. And like condiments in general for me, I think it's, I don't know. I think it's just like a texture thing.
I was just saying it must be like a texture or consistency thing.
Yeah. And I think it's a smell thing. Like, I don't like it. Like mayo stinks, like mustard stinks, ketchup stinks. I'm just like a, no, thank you. Like there's other things that I can put on. Everyone's like, oh, you eat dry sandwiches. I'm like, oil and vinegar is a thing. Balsamic, like vinegar, like
is a thing.
The friggin', what's it called? One that's like thicker. What am I?
Like a glaze.
A glaze, thank you. Oh my, I'm a real fan of balsamic glaze.
What do you do at Smash Burger? Not Smash Burger, I'm sorry. Shake Shack. You don't get the schmear?
No.
That's a good schmear.
And everyone's like, what do you put in your burgers? Or what do you put in your fries? I'm like, first of all, fries are the perfect food. Fries do not need they don't anything. Need anything. Why would you take something perfect and then try to mask the flavor?
I don't.
No.
Hard pass. But you know what? We'll move on and catch up and talk about other things.
I mean, I guess. I had a pretty good month so far because I went on vacation. So I read a lot that week. I will say this. I read a lot. I did not read a lot that I would like, that I loved.
Okay.
So I'll start off with the books that I was just like, I've just been reading a lot of like mediocre books.
Yes.
Like a lot of three-star books.
Three and a half.
Which again, nothing wrong with a three-star book, but
sometimes you want like a little sprinkle of a, damn, this is fucking good.
Sometimes I want to pick up a book and I want to read like four pages and be like,
yeah,
over it. So I read books 1 and 2 of the Gold Rush Ranch series by Elsie Silver. So mm-hmm. Off to the Races and A Photo Finish. And I gave them both 3 stars.
Yes.
Like a solid, like they're three, solid 3.5.
3 star books.
Like they're good. They were very easy. I know. I'm excited to read the third. They're very easy to read. They were perfect for like me being at the beach. They were like very perfect for like that scenario and like being around family and like only being able to pick up the book like occasionally. But I'm not like, oh my God, I need to finish a series now. Like I will read the third book probably while I'm off for like my surgery or whatever. Like I'll finish the series. I like it.
Yes.
But I'm not like, it's not Chestnut Springs.
It's not Chestnut Springs.
It is not Chestnut Springs. Which again, different author, but similar in like the small townish vibes. Fallen Jester, which I actually want to talk to Katie about, obviously. So it's book 5 in the Clifton Forge series by Debbie Perry, and Katie DNF'd it.
Fucking hated that book. So, and not because of her writing, the male main character to me was completely intolerable.
So you did audio?
Yes.
Okay. I wonder if it, because I, everything that you were saying, I agreed with.
Okay.
But then he took a turn and he was great.
Okay.
So I feel like you were I feel like you were like, fuck this.
I got to that one scene and I was like, fuck this motherfucker, I'm out.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Because
he panicked and he's like, Emmett wants to go out, so I'm going to go out. And then he gets drugged and like thinks that he's date raped, basically. But it all ties into the rest of the story.
I get what's, I, be, that
I knew that, yeah, line, I knew that you, yeah.
You know, first off, you know he actually, nothing happened. Like, yeah. Debbie Perry does not write those kind of books.
No.
Second, you there's an underlying subplot happening. So I understood it plays into like the last book.
Yeah.
But like, because that male main character, I can't tell you his name because he's a fucking piece of shit. But he literally entire time throughout the whole first part of the book was like, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't go out. I should be better. I should. Then don't fucking go out.
Yeah.
Sit your fucking ass down with your pregnant baby mama and shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Also, for him, like, I'm like, he's owning up that he's being a piece of shit.
He did. Yes.
Okay. So it's Leo. Cassie. I was getting so annoyed with her.
She's annoying too.
She, like, literally, like, first of all, this man, like, could have spit on her and she'd be like, oh, well, he had trauma as a child. Like,
yes.
I'll forgive him. Like, I hate when a female character doesn't hold the male main character accountable.
Or just like, communication. Like, yeah. She, like, is living in his house that he's allowing her to live there.
Yeah.
And, like, she, like, is just kind of, like, hiding in that one room because she doesn't want to, like, bother him, per se. I'm like, what the fuck?
It's like, just, yeah, honestly.
It's a weird, it's.
I had a bigger issue with her. Just, I wanted her to have like a stronger backbone. I'm like,
she had no backbone.
She literally, like, this man could have, I'm not even kidding you, spit on her, kicked her in the head, and then apologized a day later, and she'd be like, it's okay.
Because, you had it rough.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Cassie's fucking annoying too.
Yeah, she was just a complete doormat. Hated
those characters. Debbie Perry has an amazing writing skill, and like the story came to life for me. I just fucking hated those two.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, that's my issue with, the Lucy Score book, Things We Never Got Over.
Yeah.
It's not like the writing that I didn't like. I fucking hated the characters.
Yeah.
So like, that's why I hate the book. Like,
yeah.
It's not the writing. It's the characters. Yes. So I understand how like characters can ruin a book.
I can't even, I know the last book is probably amazing. I don't know if you've read it yet.
I haven't read it yet. I'm waiting because I know that it's Mary's like, it's like her favorite Devney book or one of her favorite Devney.
Which says something.
Yeah.
It's like she's read all of them. So it's just like, I don't even know what I want to do. I don't know if I want to do audio. I don't know if I want to like just go back to the fucking physical copy.
They are all free on Kindle Unlimited. Because like I have the physical copies, but I've been reading them on Kindle because I feel like it's just easier to get through.
Yes.
I actually have Emmett, who's the last book that's Tin Queen. I've been the most intrigued by him since the beginning. So I am very excited.
Yes.
I
also just don't think that series is as good as the Eden series.
Well, no. And I've read a lot of Debney's. We've both read a lot of her series.
I love The Birthday List so much more than that series.
Yeah.
The Letters to Molly. Like
Birthday List and Letters to Molly are really good, really underrated. Books. Coach.
So fucking good.
So fucking good. Which, since we're on the topic, I want to talk about Blitz.
Did you finish that one?
Yeah. 3. I was disappointed in it.
The isn't it Professor Student?
It's Coach Student Athlete, but it's not... Torin is the assistant coach or like one of the coaches on the football team. I think he's like the defensive coach or something. Okay. And she is a volleyball player, like on the female volleyball team. So he's not coaching her. So it's not like some weird power dynamic.
Dynamic never got to me. I think, and maybe it's because I used to be in the sports world. And when we were in school for like athletic training, when you were assigned, I don't mean to cut you off, like when you were assigned clinicals, you're going into college settings sometimes, not all the time, but there's a lot of settings that are college settings. So like when I was assigned to Rutgers, I was 23. These kids are 20.
Yeah. So 21. He's like 32 and I think she's 21 when they first meet. They meet not in a college setting. Okay. They meet before school starts.
Okay.
So he's like throwing a 4th of July. Yeah. He's throwing a 4th of July party. And she's a transfer student. So she's like, he's never seen her before.
Okay.
He's throwing a 4th of July party at his house. Some like beautiful blonde girl just like walks into his yard. And he's like, who the fuck is this? But he's like entertaining his family. At the end of the night, everyone leaves and like she's still there. And they have this like cute little like night together, and like then they end up fucking whatever. And then he's like, you know, he's like at the school and he's like getting ready. He's getting ready for Ford to arrive as like the new head coach. So it's like, it's kind of like
ties in.
Yeah. And the woman's volleyball coach is like, oh, like I have, she like comes into the office. She's like, I'm like touring a new student around, but like I lost her. Have you seen her? And he's like, no. She's like, oh, here she is. She comes like out of the weight room. And she's like, oh, like, and she introduces them and they're both like,
shit. Yeah.
Turns out that the house next door to him was bought by one of the girl on the team's parents. And she is like renting a room. So basically like they're neighbors.
Okay.
And again, I loved Torin. The book is written well. I did not like Jensen, who's the female main character. Like when Torin, like she's introduced as this like free spirit. She's like, never has her, like, she's, like, she walks into his yard, like, on her own. She doesn't have shoes on. She doesn't know anybody. She's, like, very, like, free-spirited and, like, whatever. But then you get to her chapters, and she's just, like, severely, like, insecure, which, again, nothing wrong with that. I just feel like Devney didn't know who she was. Like, I think Devney didn't know who she was as a character.
Okay.
So she was, it was very, like, conflicting.
Because I feel like not that free spirits can't have insecurities.
I feel like I'm free-spirited. I have a lot of insecurities. It was the way that it was written. So I'm like looking at like my review and I basically said like her character was a huge contradiction in my opinion. She was fun loving free spirit with Torin, but also rude to her teammates and roommates. Really like refused to befriend. She got like kind of burned at her old school. So refused to befriend them, was like just like really like rude. And like I just did not like her treatment of the other girls. So she was like really reclusive. She lacked a lot of self-confidence. And I guess it also not an issue, but contradictory to what we see when she's with Torin. And then I said, which is fine. I just don't like a female main character whose entire self-worth comes from like a man's validation in a way. And like, there's no, like the issue that's like this underlying issue that whatever, like, why did she transfer schools? Like what happened? All this stuff. There's no communication between her and Torin. Mm-hmm. Like they have these like little conversations where they're getting to know each other, but like it's all like underlined by like his like him being like she's so like my dick's twitching, like she's so hot, and like then them just like fucking, like they're never having conversations. They're not talking. And then the thing that you find out is why she transferred schools is because she was having an affair with her old volleyball coach. And I hated that.
That's bothersome.
Yeah. And then like her mom was a professional volleyball player and her mom's putting a lot of pressure on her to like follow that route. And instead of just having the conversation with her mom, she doesn't. Instead of just telling Torin like why she had to leave school, she doesn't. So then all of this like kind of comes out.
Comes like a head type of thing.
And it's like literally just like forgiven like right away. It's just like, oh, okay, that's fine. And then she just like graduates college and then like they just like end up together. I don't know. I didn't like her.
I'll put it on the back burner.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, a lot of people loved it. I saw like a lot of 5-star reviews. It just didn't do it for me.
Okay. I mean, I just don't like the way she sounds.
Yeah.
I'm also, I think I have to digest the student relationship thing a little bit more.
Like, I was going to say, I also have an issue with, yeah. I'm not an age gap person in general.
No.
And
which,
like,
excuse me, I'm fine with an age gap, but like, choking on my own spit. Knowing you're an athlete and it's a coach, even though it's not the same. I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm sorry if you guys don't think it's weird or you've done that, but like it's not my cup of tea.
Listen,
you do you.
We don't have to all like the same things. I realized that I'm not an age gap person, regardless. I'm like thinking like, what do you have in common with a 21-year-old? I'm sorry.
I think that's the – okay.
That's my big issue.
I don't mind age because, like, I'm going to talk in the book that I'm reading now that which is age gap. But, like, the age gap is 28 to 39.
That's fine.
But when you're 20 – if you are in college
or I was say, if you're in college, I just don't think you have anything in common with anybody
you're in a whole different phase over of 30. And, like, maybe – like, I've had a friend who in her very early 20s was, like – in charge of all of her bills. Like, she had to figure out how to pay for school herself. Like, there's different maturity levels, and I think there's some people who can handle that. Yeah. Like, for the most part, most 20-year-olds, I don't think, can hold a relationship with a 30-year-old.
No, and also, like, she didn't know what she was doing with her life or, like, who she was.
Some stability.
So, like, yeah. So, like, for me, I was like, okay, so now she's going to graduate college and make her whole life about a man. And, like, I don't know, like, yeah. Maybe it's because, like, where we grew up too, like, being, like, from, like, the East Coast and, like, I don't know. I feel like we all, like, kind of get married a lot later here and stuff. Like, I know in the South it's different.
Yeah.
But.
Very different.
Yeah, it's very different. So I think it's just, like, my opinion's a little more skewed towards, like, what we're used to.
Yeah.
But I just, like, think it's so irresponsible as, like, a 21-year-old who doesn't know what the fuck they're doing with their life. She turns 22. So, like, a 22-year-old who doesn't know what the fuck she's doing with her life to just kind of, like, put her all of her, like, eggs in this, like, man's basket.
Yeah.
I just don't like that kind of character.
No, I'm kind of with you on that.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, but Jensen Bell, I think her last name was, not for me. But I would definitely, I would lick Torrin's butt over Eden Ketchup. You know? Yeah. He was cute.
Circle back that
up. But what age gap book are you reading?
So, okay. So, I think this book could be read, obviously, by all. It's a romance book. But if you are not someone who enjoys reading, like, spicy scenes, this author is for you. And she's fucking amazing. So, like, yesterday I literally sat down. I put Lee to bed. I always, like, tend to, like, kind of doze out for a little bit and fall asleep. So I woke up. It was, like, 9. And I was like, I'm going to start this book. My intention was to read 20%.
Okay.
I read 80% last night of this book.
Oh, damn.
Jennifer Peele. She just writes stories that have a way of sucking you in. She always has, from what I've written. From what I've read so far, she writes very likable, and I do believe some of them are relatable characters.
Yeah.
So this book is called The Proximity Factor, and, like, this 39-year-old man and this 28-year-old girl have no idea who each other are, but they somehow got selected by their a university to be in a social experiment.
Yeah.
The prize is $15,000 each. They have to complete the full, I think it's 16 weeks of an experiment. If they complete the whole thing, they get $15,000. He was burned by his ex-wife and best friend. He created, like, this whole big video game that blew up with his best friend.
Okay.
But then his best friend started to date his wife, and the two of them completely took everything away from this guy. So, like, this guy is kind of, like, down on his luck and a little broke.
That sounds really terrible.
So terrible. He also comes from, like, a piece of shit father and a mom who, like, they lived in trailer parks. So, like, he had a younger sister a lot. Like, he was, like, 17 and then, like, found out about a baby sister. And he made a promise to her that, like, I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah.
So he wants this $15,000 to help her pay for tuition. Also, where the fuck is the school at that it's $15,000? Probably the South or in Georgia.
Yeah.
So it's cute. But he's so, like, standoffish. He's like, I'm here to do one thing only. I'm also trying to start this whole new business, like, to get this game up and running so I can prove to, like, myself that, like, I'm capable and I'm not, like, this loser.
Yeah.
She, on the other hand, is 28. She's so cute. She's such a Southern Belle, extremely confident in herself.
Love,
like,
that.
Like, I want my daughter to be like her with, like, her Southern, like, charmisms and, like, the things that she shoots back at people, like, the fucking spice and wit that comes out.
I love that.
She wants the money because her dad just passed away, and her dad always promised her mom that he would take her to Europe.
Yeah.
So she wants to take her mom to Europe. So, like, it's, like, these cute reasons that, like, she really tries to bulldoze her way into his life, because she's like, the Southern way is to, like, force your way into, like, to be charming and kind and whatever. Yeah. And he's like, I want nothing to do with you. But the entire time, like, in his mental whatever, when you're listening to him, he's like, I feel like a fucking old man preying on this little girl. He's like, I don't want to be, like, this loser who, like, isn't good at... So, like, I like that she kind of points it out. He's like, I just don't want people to see me as, like, this almost 40-year-old just, like, going after this, like, hot young thing.
Yeah.
But, like, the way she writes this, because they go from complete strangers who, like, he wants nothing to do with her, and there's, like, baby steps to, like, the improvement, and they have to do video diaries after the end of the week, and, like, it's about the other person. It's like, I don't know. I, like, Tom walked out of the bedroom at 11 o'clock and said, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, shut the fuck up and get away from me.
You're like, I'm fucking like, reading.
This is really good. Yeah. So I was at one point, it was like midnight. I was like, I have to put this down. Yeah. I was like, otherwise I'm not going to sleep. But I kept like sitting in bed, like tapping my feet. He's like, you're waking this whole bed up right now. And I'm like, he's like, go, just keep reading. I'm like, I know I think I'm asleep. So I'm trying to go to sleep. Like, I can't, I want to keep reading. Like, she just writes such like good stories.
I have to read characters. Something of hers. Yeah.
I personally, like, again, you know how Teresa and I feel about Spice. We love it. But I don't always need it. And yep. like the way she builds up this tension.
I love a build up.
I was like squealing, even though I know nothing's gonna like pay off. When yeah. we finally freaking kissed, I was like, oh my fucking God. Like it's, she just writes really good stories. But like, I know there's some closed door Spice girlies out there.
Yeah.
Like our cousin in particular does not yeah. like any kind of like on page Spice. So like, this is a great romance author.
Yeah.
In general, but like if this is your niche where you're like, I'm always looking for something that's not spicy. This is your author.
That's good to know.
But she writes, they're always under 300 pages, like a little under 300.
I love that.
It gets right to the point, but like in a slow burn, like good build up kind of way. She's really worth exploring. Don't write her off just because she doesn't write spice.
Honestly, like I've just been not in the mood for spice lately. But you said slow burn and now I read a Mariana Zapata book while tension. I was away. I read
one?
Yes, I read when it's called When Gracie Meets the Grump. Ooh. And I've had it on my TBR for a while. She like casually just like randomly dropped this. I think at this point it's been like 2 years.
Okay.
But I just remember like one day she was just like, oh, by the way, like here's a new book.
Okay.
Like I don't think there was like any build up. It was just like, oh, here it is. And it's he's a superhero.
Okay.
Which like I've been like putting it off because I'm like, I mean, I've heard good things about it.
It's Mariana Zapata.
Everybody was like, if you're a Mariana Zapata fan, you'll like it.
Okay.
It is like, it is so like typical Mariana Zapata.
Okay.
Like very like whatever, but he happens to be a superhero who's part of a family that's like superheroes.
I'm getting the Incredible vibes.
And again, really great slow burn, really funny like dialogue, really grumpy sunshine characters.
This is yes,
yeah, that's like what I'm reading. It is. It's just like the blueprint of all Mariana Zapata books. So like, if you like her books and you are thinking, I was just like, how is she gonna like pull this off?
Yeah.
Like a superhero, she pulls it off.
She's so clever.
I just again like it's they're all so similar, but I love them all.
She writes incredible
and
stories.
She always, the female main characters always make poop jokes.
Yes.
They always make poop jokes yes. or like poop comes up. So, yep. Oh, happened again.
I love it.
And she is writing something new because she posted the other day like.
Yeah. Ah.
So I'm waiting to see like what, you know, what kind of teasers we start getting from her. But yes, I recommend When Gracie Met the Grump 100%.
Okay. I'm almost done with the Stay a Spell series by Juliet Cross.
You've been at that for a while. Not yes. a while, but like, yeah.
So I read the first four and then I switched to audio for the fifth and I'm going to do audio for the sixth because there's just like some things that we need to cross off our list reading wise.
Yeah.
I'd rather read Powerless than listen to Powerless.
Yes.
They're dual narrator.
Oh, okay.
So sold. People, every time I make a witchy video, everyone's like, you have to read the series. I wouldn't scream from the rooftops about it, but I think they're just a solid 3.75 to 4-star book.
Yeah, that's honestly like a very good sweet spot.
Yes. It gives me everything that I want. It has great buildup, great tension, great spice. Juliet Cross can write some spice.
Girl.
Just telling everybody that. It's witches, it's vampires, it's Grimms, it's werewolves.
It's like a whole plethora of supernatural.
It's everything you want. It's set in New Orleans. It's just, they're good times.
Yeah.
They're just good vibes. So I'm on book five now. So far, book three, everybody, as I hold up four fingers, has been my favorite, but.
That's how I do three.
Do you really?
This hurts. I always go like this when I say three.
The fuck is she?
It's basically the shocker.
Or like, I know a lot of people do like this.
Yeah, that.
Or that. Yeah, that's so baseball.
Yeah. Anyway, if you're not watching the video, you don't know what we're saying, but.
I think that's something out of Star Trek. Anyway, so I think they're just like a really good, if you want like, and they're not super heavy on witchy lore. That's just who they are.
Yeah.
Like, they do talk some politics, because like werewolves are not like really accepted because their aggressiveness, and like, again, general theme throughout the whole plot is to get that overturned and have them sit on the council. But it's nothing deep. It's just fun stuff. So if you have nothing to read, I do recommend.
How many are there in the series?
Six.
Okay, so you are, like, you're
almost done. I'm there. I've been slowly buying the books, the physical books, too, because I think I want to do, not here because we're moving, but I have a vision for, like, some kind of shelf cabinet-y thing.
Okay.
That I want to paint black.
Okay.
I want to kind of, like, I have a piece of furniture I think I could use. I still don't know if it'll fit books, but I have to look into it. But, like, I would really like doors so I can kind of, not, like, distress the glass, but make it look, like, you know, like old and, like, bubbly and whatever. But I want to somehow get pages from a spell book, which, like, I have a plenty of.
I was going to say, it's definitely just not.
That I can kind of, like, put as, like, in my mind, they're almost, like, Mod Podge to the shelf in the back, part of it. But also, like.
It's, like, wallpapered almost.
Wallpapered almost. But then, like, some of them do hang. And I want to, like, kind of burn the edges a little bit.
Yeah.
Put in, like.
Distressed Mod Podge.
Yes. And then, like, put in, like, vials of, like, obviously.
My blood.
Base, 100%. But, like, I have, like, this whole thing from my aunt that has, like, stupid potion stuff on it, but then turn that into, like, just my, like, books for all, like, my witchies.
I like that. I'll help you.
Thank you. So, like, try, because I was like, this is a witchy, it does have witches, so yeah. I was like, let me collect the series. But I was like, okay, now I'm gonna buy, like, another series.
Okay.
So I have some things in my mind. So, yeah. You have anything
else? Oh, I do. The last book that I want to talk about, A Love Letter to Whiskey by Candy Steiner. And this book, this was my 5-star book of the month.
Okay.
The only 5-star book. Actually, the last 5-star book before this was Magnolia Parks.
Wow.
So it's been a month. I don't give a lot of 5 stars. Like, I have to, like, really, like, feel feral about a book to give it 5 stars. I felt really feral. You know, I've been a lot harder on my reviews this year. Giving a lot of 3s that, like, I normally probably would have given 4s.
Yeah.
I'm giving 3s. Like, whatever. This book was, like, more than 5 stars. You want to murder these characters. You love them. You hate them. You want them to be together. You want to kill them. You want, like, the best for them. And then you want them to burn in hell. Like, so the book takes place, I think it's technically, like, 12 years. Takes place over. So it starts out, B and her best friend, they're on a run. And B, like, clocks this guy, like, running, like, towards them. And there's her and her friend Jenna are 17. He's 18. We don't know this yet, but then they meet and whatever. So, like, they're all, like, young. They're in high school. And, like, B is like, oh, my God. Like, this is, like, the most beautiful man I've ever seen in my entire life. And she, like, turns her head to, like, give her friend Jenna, like, a look, like, being, like, look at this guy, like, that's my man's. Jenna's, like, bent over tying her shoe. When B turns back around, she, like, runs straight into him. And they, like, collide. And he's, like, helping her. But she's, like, so, like, in awe of, like, in awe of him that she, like, cannot get words out.
Okay.
So then her friend Jenna comes. And she's, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Watch where you're going, blah, blah, blah. So, like, James' attention, like, turns to Jenna. And B immediately is like, oh, well, she's like the more beautiful, like typical blonde hair, blue eyed. B is like biracial. She's like dark curly hair. Like, I mean, you know, like not like the typical like all American like looking girl. Like B is beautiful, but I understand like growing up, like.
Sometimes you do have a friend where you're just like.
Yeah.
Shit.
She was.
Eyes locked onto her.
Yeah. She's like insecure about herself. And like, not that it's the same, but like I have very, very curly hair. And I know growing up, like. I was always so self-conscious of just that in general that I was always like, oh, my hair's like, no boys are going to like, whatever. I understand. You're a 17-year-old girl. I understand where she was coming from. So she immediately is like, oh, well, there goes that. And her friend Jenna is kind of like, just like a fun, like flirty, like little like cheerleader girl. Like there's no animosity between B and Jenna at all throughout the series. They remain best friends throughout everything. But Jenna and Jamie end up dating for like a few months, but B and Jamie become like really good friends during this time. Okay. B is like in love with him. And the reason why people have a lot of issues with this book is there's cheating throughout this entire book.
Okay.
B and Jamie don't physically cheat. Like, he never cheats on Jenna. He's, like, very committed to Jenna, but they're spending a lot of time together, and there's definitely, like, emotional cheating. But again, they're 17, 18 years old. Like, whatever. Jamie is a year older, so he goes away to college. When B ends up at college the next year, runs into Jamie. And Jamie's, like, finally. Like, he's been – he's, like – at the end, you find out that, like, he saw B first, and he was, like, that's my girl. But he thought that she was so uninterested, and he's, like, I was an 18-year-old guy. One girl seemed uninterested. One girl seemed interested. So, like, I just went with that one. Like, yeah. Whatever. Anyway, so he's, like, in love with B. And he's like, oh, my God, like, this is finally my shot. Mm-hmm. Turns out that B is dating his roommate.
Oh, my God.
So, long story short, that's when the first – so she ends up cheating on her boyfriend with Jamie. And she's going to break up with her boyfriend. And, like, her and Jamie, like, admit their, like, love for each other. And then her dad dies. And she's like, fuck it. I'm leaving school. She's out in California. She leaves school, transfers back home to Florida. And they don't speak for, like, 3 years. And then they run into each other, and it's, like, the night before she's about to move to Pittsburgh to do her MBA.
Damn.
And have, like, an internship. They keep, like, missing each other, but because their feelings for each other are so strong that, like, they keep fucking up their other relationships.
Okay.
Like, they cannot stay away from each other. So, like, Jamie – this is a whole spoiler about this whole book. Jamie eventually, like, he gets engaged. She's, like, devastated, heartbroken. But they're, like, keeping, like, we're best friends. So he's, like, this is my – you're going to be my best man.
Okay.
And she's, like, you know, I love him, but I want to see him happy. And if he's genuinely happy, then, like, I'll be there for him. Blah, 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 whatever happens. He ends up not getting married. He tells B, like, they're, like, okay, like, we are going to be together now. Like, we're done fucking around. His ex-fiance, like, kind of fucks him over. So for, like, another, like, 2 years, like, they don't speak. And then she's like, I'm getting married. It's, like, it's just back and forth the whole time. But, like, they're so, like, the way that they're written is, like, even though you kind of want to kill them, like, you're rooting for them the whole time. And then at the end, they finally get together. But, okay, so if you're going to read it, yes, there's a happily ever after. But you have to get the 5th anniversary edition.
Okay.
So I honestly, when I read the ending, I was like, oh, I like, I thought it was a good ending. Like, I didn't need to see them actually live their happily ever after to know that they were getting it. Like, it is, it's like, you know that it's they're implied. Getting it.
Yes.
You, yeah, it's not even implied. Like, it's written, it's the book.
What you're, it gives you the end of the story for you.
Well, I'll say, like, what you're reading is a book that B writes to him, kind of, like, about their love story.
Okay.
So then the last few chapters are, like, she publishes the book and, like, is waiting for him to, like, read it and then kind of, like, putting the ball in his court to be, like, to come back. And the prologue, or I mean, the epilogue, she's, like, talking shit about his wife. And then she's, like, and his wife is me. Like, she's just talking shit about herself. Like,
that's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, so the 5th anniversary edition, after that, you get 200 pages of Jamie's point of view of everything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you get, I think, like, 170 pages is, like, Jamie's point of view. And he's, like, kind of talking to the reader, being like, this is what she said happened, but this is actually, like, what happened. Or, like, this is how I felt in this situation. Okay. And then, like, the last, like, 20 pages are of them, like, together, like, in, like, real time, like, what happened, like, with their
That's
life.
Really cute.
And I just really, I really just really liked it.
That's good.
I know. So I'm excited because we're going to meet her at Sweetgrass.
Yes.
And so I'm bringing the book to get signed.
There you go.
Because I read one of her other books and I didn't like it.
Which book was that?
Blindside.
I do remember you saying that you
It was fine. Side. Again, 3 stars. But people were, like, going crazy for it. So I was like, oh my God, a sports romance. And I read it and I was like, meh. So when I went into this, I, like, had lower expectations. And then I was like, never mind. Like, I want this, like, tattooed, like, on my head. It was so good.
I love that.
Yeah.
I finally did Forget Me Not by Julie Soto. I did this on audio.
Oh, yeah.
It's a dual narrator.
Okay.
Or dual narration, I'm sorry. So the narration is amazing. It's Teddy Hamilton also, so I just...
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was cute. It was good. I wouldn't, like... Again, I'm not singing its praises from the rooftops, but I thought it was very enjoyable for what it was. I liked both of the characters. Like, he was definitely more, like, broody, internal, like, but obviously loved her so much. Where she was more of, like, the outgoing one. I will say she did kind of piss me off the sense of like how she treated him the first time around.
Yeah.
But you know,
yeah, the second chance romance, and it's like his POVs are told like in the past, right? If I'm remembering correctly. Yeah. And like,
she doesn't want, so her mom has been married like 14 times. So she doesn't believe in marriage, which I get it. But like, she doesn't believe in like committed relationships or marriage, but like is making plans with him to go do things in a couple of years. Or so it's like, so it's very, that would mislead me. Like, yeah, if someone was like, hey, I don't believe in a relationship, or real commitment or marriage, but like, hey, in 2 years, let's take this trip. And like, I want you to come to my mom's wedding with me as my date. And like,
yeah,
all these big moments between the two of them. So like, I very much understand where he's coming from. And then like, he kind of like blurts out, like he like wants to marry her, which like, okay, well, yeah, we can pump the brakes a little bit on that. But she like completely shuts down. She's like, this is not what I want at all. Like, I told you from the get-go, this is never something that like I saw for ourselves. He's like, what the fuck do you think we've been doing?
Right.
Like, come again. So obviously like they break up, and then she starts her own business as a wedding planner. She also really bothered me with Whitney, which is the woman she worked underneath.
Mm-hmm.
She, the whole fucking book, was like, should I just call Whitney for help? Should I call for help? Should I call her and see like if she can give me any help? And I'm like, bitch, shut the fuck up about Whitney. You're doing it yourself.
Yeah. And then Whitney turns out to be the worst.
The worst. I love her burn. She had a good burn. But it's like, that was like the only two things that I was like, bitch, you're so annoying. But it was good. And then I actually read, so I discovered Rebecca Runnick back in the fall. She did Not Your Favorite Jack-O-Lantern, which I fucking loved. As a fall book.
Yeah,
it was such a fun fall romance. She wrote, I guess you could chalk it up to like a St. Paddy's Day type thing. So it's like, it's based in Ireland, but that should not mean that you don't read it anytime past St. Paddy's Day. I fucking love this book. It was not a 5-star book, but like it was, I devoured this.
Yeah.
So this one girl has like just a, she has a curse of bad luck. She's has bad luck all of her life. Like, everything that could go wrong in this girl's life, it does go wrong. So she plays it very, very safe and close to like any parameter of, I know nothing can really happen if I stay within these boundaries.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she loses her job and her apartment floods all in the same day. So she comes home, she calls her brother. She's like, hey, I need help, like a place to stay, blah, blah, blah. Her best friend, who's rich, who like, I really need a story about the best friend. She's like, I don't know, like she reminds me of someone who is like an assassin, but isn't, but like,
okay,
like also hire people to do things that like need to be done.
Okay.
But she's wealthy. And she's like, you know what? You've been living in these specified lines all of your life. Like, you are Irish. You've always wanted to go back to Ireland.
Yeah.
You need to find your luck. I'm paying for you to go here. You take care of the shit when you're there, but I will get you there.
Right.
So she gets there. And like the first instance is like, she goes to like this bar to have some food, and like she knows to throw salt over your shoulder for like good luck, but she throws it at someone. Cute little dinner. He's a little sweetie. His name is Connor. He's an MMA fighter. So like my first thought was like Connor McGregor. I'm getting the vibe of it.
Yeah.
But they happen to like weirdly meet again. And she like liked the fact that he just like was like, thank you for a wonderful evening. Like, good luck. Goodbye. And then he finds her like picking, trying to find like 4-leaf clovers. He finds one for her and gives it to her. Essentially, he's the lucky one, and he thinks that gave away all this luck.
Okay.
So then he like tracks this girl down. He's like, hold on, fuck this. Like, I'm now getting bad luck. This bitch told me all about her bad luck.
Yeah.
I now have it. I need to find her and get my like fucking 4-leaf clover back, whatever. So like, he takes her around like Ireland. So that's the deal. Like, hey, if you give me that leaf back, like I'll take you on your tour. Cause shocker, when she gets there, like the tour she booked like doesn't exist.
Of course.
But it's just like such a fucking cute story. And again, like tension filled, like good spicy payoff, gets right to like the point. We don't like it, it's not too slow. Like it's just perfect paced. I'm really enjoying it. It's part of like the gummy bear orgies.
I was gonna say the gummy bear orgies, I think, is her thing.
And like I have to read book one. I've never picked it
up. I think it's like a Valentine's Day theme.
I think so. They're not at all related. Like it's not even interconnected standalone. They are complete standalone.
Yeah.
It's like there's no crossover, at least not from the two that I've read. So, like, I have to go back to do book one. So I'm like, well, now I need to know.
Yeah.
But this was really cute. And, like, a little different. Like, it's a vacation romance. I haven't read a vacation romance for Ireland ever. So.
No, honestly, that's really cute. It kind of reminds me of, like, not at all, but, like, the movie, like, Leap Year.
Yes. But But I don't know. It was just nice to read, like, I don't want to say different because it's a love story, but, like, it was...
A different, like, plot.
A different plot.
Yeah.
And now I'm reading the Jennifer Peele book, which I do really recommend Jennifer Peele if you want to give anything a go and you're okay with missing out on some spice.
Yeah. So I'm currently reading Powerless, which we'll talk about next week.
Yes.
And I'm only, like, 150 pages in, but I'm enjoying it so far. It's, like, starting to really pick up. It's giving me Hunger Games /... like Defy the Night kind of vibe so far.
Love it.
So we'll see. But I know it's a fan favorite, so I'm excited to dive in.
I just feel like it's a weird time. Like, I know you posted a video about this, like, maybe it was last week, where you're not in a slump.
Yeah, like, I'm reading a lot, but I'm just not reading, like, anything that I'm loving.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to say I'm, like, exactly the same books. Like, I really did like some of the books that I have been reading, but I feel like there's nothing... I feel like we went through a period where I was reading and I was like, oh my God, I have to get to X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, right now, the only thing I, like, need to get to are the books that we are going to talk about on our podcast, which is fine, but I'm not used to that.
No.
Like, I know I want to read Swift and Swaddled.
Saddled. Swift and Swaddled. She's the baby.
I know I want to read that, but again, I'm not like, I need to pick this up next.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I wasn't a huge Done and Dusted fan. Again, it was like a very... solid 3-star for me. So I'm like, I'll read it eventually.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like, there's nothing that I'm like
dying to pick up.
Like, even, okay, so I love the Cruel Prince series. I liked the spinoff, The Stolen Heir. The sequel to that came out, which I forget what it's called at this point. I didn't even realize it came out. I just ordered it. It arrived. The Prisoner's Throne. I don't know, something like that. But I was like, there's just like, I don't know if there's, like, a mental block right now with me because, like, I have so much going on. But, like, I just feel like I'm just, like, there's nothing that I'm super, super, super excited for.
Yeah.
But then again, like, April, there's so much that's coming out.
Yes.
Like, Emily Henry, Abby Jimenez. Like, there's literally so many books coming out. I think, like, the next book in the Boys of Thomas year is coming out in April. So many things are coming out in April. And, like, I'm just, like, it's literally 2 weeks away. And, like, I cannot fathom that it's, like, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. And, like, there's even, like The Road to Bones is a book that I think Listen with Brit has been screaming from the rooftops about.
Yeah.
It's, like, it actually sounds really good. But I have no desire to do a fantasy book. Like, no desire.
I know. And Power, like, so I read The Coven. Oh, I read The Coven, too. Which, again, was, like, a solid 3. It's giving me, like, Gothicana vibes. It's, like, dark academia, witches, and, like, demons kind of stuff. Which, again, really good, but I didn't want to go from that into Powerless. I kind of wanted to have, like, a little, like...
buffer?
But I just don't have the time, which is fine. And honestly, I'm enjoying Powerless, so it's fine. But I'm just, like, not in, like, a fantasy mood. So, you know, we're going to see how that goes. But, like, yeah, there's a lot coming out in April. The last Zodiac Academy book is coming out in April. There's something else. But there's a lot coming out that I feel like, and I mean, I'm going to be off because I'm having surgery. So, like, I'll be reading a lot in April. But I kind of wanted to, like, I kind of want to take a crack at, like, my physical TBR that's just, like, sitting in my office. And now I'm like, oh, well, this book's coming out, and this book's coming out, and this book's coming out, and this book's coming out. So,
yeah, I'm kind of,
I think ZA9 and Funny Story by Emily Henry come out on the same day. And I'm definitely going to do Emily Henry first.
Yeah, same. CA is going to take a back burner for 7 seconds.
Yeah, like, I don't want spoilers. But
I don't want spoilers.
I don't care.
I
do
want to hear people's, like, is the old...
Like, I don't want to hear anybody's opinions.
No?
I want to go in. Because I feel like if people are like, oh, I'm disappointed, then I feel like I'm not going to want to read it.
That's true. I guess you're kind of right about that.
But I feel like...
I feel like I'll lash out to that real quick.
Yeah. So again,
I'm wearing the sweatshirt.
Yeah, again, I'm not going to be doing much in April. I'm going to be recovering. So I just feel like I'll probably read Funny Story in like a day and then just like pick up ZA9. And then I can tell you, like,
yeah, maybe I'll wait for
yeah.
I just, I'm having, we've said this a million times and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but like the fact that this is going to be another fucking 1200 page book.
Yeah. And I just, honestly, I wouldn't care. I just feel like they prolonged it for no reason. So now I have a bad taste in my mouth.
Oh, I definitely have a bad taste in my mouth.
I feel like a lot of the fans do because, like, I feel like all anybody talked about was Zodiac Academy. And, like, I don't see their content anymore. I don't know if maybe it's just us, our algorithm changed.
I know there's some people who still talk about it. Like, don't get me wrong. It is a good series. I just think book 8 should have been the last book. And I think it's a lot to ask of readers when you have a longer series book. And this is just my opinion. I could there's going to be people out there that disagree. I just don't think it's very, I don't want to use the word kind or nice, but like, it's a lot to ask of a reader to read three 1,200 page books.
Yeah. When it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like, they just, yeah, they just get an editor. But yeah, next week we'll be doing Powerless. Mm-hmm. We are going to Sweetgrass on, we're leaving Friday. So we'll be in Charleston this weekend at the Sweetgrass author event. So Powerless will be next week. And then
Spilling the Tea.
Then Spilling the Tea. And well, then, I feel like then like, it won't be Spilling the Tea. It'll be about Sweetgrass. Like, we'll do a complete recap of Sweetgrass.
When does the Emily Henry book come out? Because I feel like that would be a good one to do.
The 23rd.
Okay, so that could be the end of...
The 30th.
Yeah.
Because I know...
Actually, it'd be May 1st.
Okay.
So April's still up in the air. I thought for sure...
Well, I think we said... Okay, so we said... Okay, so my surgery is the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be doing nothing. I think that the following Wednesday, we said Just for Summer by Abby Jimenez.
Yes, the 3rd.
No. The following week.
I'm sorry, the 10th.
The 10th.
I like it.
That's all we've said so far.
Yeah.
So just stay tuned.
It probably won't have a fantasy book in it because I'm not in the mood. So.
You know, it's probably just going to be strictly romances.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. But yeah, just for Summer by Abby Jimenez comes out April 2nd if you're curious. I think we'll probably do that the 10th. But yeah, that's all we got for you today. Or this week or whatever. Wish us luck this weekend, because I'm on my deathbed and I need all of the good vibes I can get to survive, an all day event on Saturday.
It's an all day event, but I'm kind of hoping, like, because our hotel is right there, if we need a quick, like, breather, refresh, whatever, it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world.
I'm hoping.
Also, I think when I'm like out and like distracted, I'm not going to be thinking about like, oh, I'm in pain or like, well, I'm dying.
We're not going to be, first off, like I am pregnant. So I feel like we're not, I'm sorry if this is what other people want to do. You do you. I'm not sprinting to lines. Like, I'll get to that line when I get to that line.
Mm-hmm.
If we have to be there at a certain time, we will leave a buffer.
Yeah.
To then get to that line. But I'm not like hauling ass.
There's going to be no running. Honestly, I can't. I went for a walk the other day. I could barely
breathe.
Legitimately. So
we're going to get to everything that we want to get to. It will just be in a southern stroll, if you will.
We're all here to just have a good time.
We are here for good vibes.
It's not that serious. No. If I don't meet an author that I really want to meet,
it's okay.
Boo hoo, but I'll survive.
Correct.
I'm a big girl.
We are.
On that note, Katie Jean.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.